I invite you to take your Bibles, please, and go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 this morning. And I want to show you a few names on the screen this morning. And I need a little audience participation and see what kind of Bible scholars that you are. I got a few names on the screen this morning. Moses, David, Elijah, Esther, Nehemiah, Daniel, Jesus, and Paul. Now, I realize that many of these individuals have a lot in common, but if I were to ask you to name one thing that all of these individuals from the Old Testament to the New Testament have in common, what would that be? Just shout it out when you know what it is. The love of God. All right, that's true. What else? I'm looking for a different one. I'm looking for something specific that they did. Anybody? Anybody know what all of these had in common? They believed in God. They were in the Bible. Who said they were in the Bible? I told you they were in the Bible. You failed today. Get out. No, I'm just kidding. What else? All that's true. I'm looking for one specific thing that all of these individuals did. Sacrifice. All right, we're all over the place this morning, and you're right. All of these people have done these things that you're talking about. But when we come to Matthew chapter 6, there's a subject matter that Jesus is preaching and teaching on, and what you find out is that all of these individuals fasted. There was something in their life, whether it was a particular particular time of need in their life, or this was a spiritual discipline that they had developed, that these individuals, they fasted. They fasted, and the Bible gives us great detail about that as well. Now, when we understand these kind of names, when we talk about Moses, and we talk about Nehemiah, and we talk about David, and we talk about Elijah, then we talk about Jesus, and we talk about the Apostle Paul, it begs us to think about this and say, hey, if these individuals did this, then should we also not do that as well? If Jesus fasted, if the Apostle Paul fasted, if Moses fasted, then should we not be fasting as well? Well, Jesus addresses this particular subject matter in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 6. Notice verse 16, 17, and 18 with me. Jesus says this. He says, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your feet, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Now, I want to draw your attention to verse 16. The beginning of verse 16 says, "And when you fast." Jesus didn't say here, "if you fast," or "on this certain occasion when you fast." It's as if it's understood that this is a spiritual discipline, that this is something that individuals should be doing on a regular basis. And he says, "and when you fast." I think that's important for us to understand. 2 weeks ago, I led out for this new year, and we talked about the word focus and how important that is. And we kind of used the 2020 vision directive to help us to clarify and to make a sharpness in our intentions for this upcoming year. And just generally speaking, all of us, we're focusing on obeying the Word of God. We're focusing on knowing the Word of God, first of all, but then knowing what God's will is for our lives and following that. Carrying on the mission and the ministry that God has given to us here as Gateway Church. We're focusing on that in this new year. And so I added a little bit of a tagline to it, and I said, the purpose of these words that you're writing on the canvas outside, the purpose of us developing a focus word is so that there can be personal change that happens to us that's going to develop into a personal growth, both individually and collectively, for all of us today. And so our focus word today that we are looking at is this idea of fasting. Fasting. Now, I'll give you just a quick joke in a sense of when you leave out of here today, somebody will ask you, "Hey, how was church today?" And you say, "Man, I'm going to tell you, it was great. Pastor preached a fast message." That's a dad joke. It's terrible, isn't it? That's terrible. That's terrible. Because I had to get you to smile, because anytime a pastor gets up and says fast, it's, and you've already violated verse 16 and verse 17. You've not even started yet, and you've already, you're giving me that kind of look. Okay, this is a spiritual discipline that Jesus is teaching and preaching to us about. Again, this is the Sermon on the Mountain that Jesus is laying out some core foundational principles that you and I should have as believers, and it really forms the true Christianity of which we live out each and every day. And so verse 16, verse 17, verse 18 deal with this idea of how important fasting is in our life. So today, I'm going to try to make it as simple as possible. I'm going to ask three questions, and we're going to do our best to answer those three questions. Number one, what is fasting? Number two, why should we be fasting? And then number three, how do we actually fast? Those are the three questions that we're going to lay out, and those are the three things that we're going to try to answer today. Now, before we get into the details, and before we begin to understand, really, and I say this truthfully, how exciting this venture is going to be, we have to understand, just in a simplistic idea, is that we're trying to disconnect from something, something that's fleshly to us, something that appeals to our fleshly side and our fleshly desires, so that we can focus on God and who He is and what He wants for our lives. So when you put fasting in this idea of disconnecting from something so we can focus on God and who He is and what He wants for our lives, I think all of us would say, well, that's a good thing for us. That's important for us to be able to follow. So what is fasting? Well, if you're taking notes today, and let me just say this, don't use your phone for Amazon and Instagram and Twitter and those kind of things that I know good church people do on a regular basis. Just thought I would throw that in there just a little bit. I need you to take notes today, okay? So get your phone out, get your note app out. If you're following on YouVersion, if you really want to know what fasting is and you want to be able to put it into practice, you're going to have to take some notes today. So here, number one, what is fasting? Fasting is this. It's a voluntary withdrawing. It's a voluntary withdrawing from food and or drink or some other kind of a fleshly appetite for a specific period of time so that we can focus on God through prayer. Again, it is a voluntary withdrawing from food or drink or some other kind of fleshly appetite for a specific period of time in order that we can focus on God through prayer. That's what we're talking about here. Now, you go back in the Old Testament. When you go back in the Old Testament, fasting is first mentioned in Exodus chapter 34. Moses receives the Ten Commandments. And obviously that was a weighty, and no pun intended there, that was a weighty matter that God had given to him. And so as he receives these Ten Commandments, Moses starts out on this fast, and he fasts for 40 days so that he could understand what God had given him and so that he could lead the nation of Israel. Now, let me just say this. If you've never fasted before, the idea of leaving church today and saying, I'm going to do a 40-day fast, let me caution you against that. And the reason I say that is because this is a discipline that you have to undertake. And doing a 40-day fast is, and to do it truly as fasting dictates to us, that's a major undertaking that very special people, even from the Old Testament, have been able to do. I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm saying don't jump out and leave here today and say, we're going to do a 40-day fast. That's not going to happen. But the idea is that Moses understood, and God gave him a unique ability. He was God's chosen vessel, and he set out in a fast to know God and what God wanted him to do. You go into the New Testament, Matthew chapter 4. What do we see Jesus doing? Jesus, in a sense, goes on a 40-day fast to begin his earthly ministry. We talk about the temptation of Satan that came along during that fast time. And the Bible says that when they finished that fast, when he finished that fasting, that he was hungry. And so not only was he challenged physically, but Jesus was challenged spiritually during that particular time. And so in the Old Testament, whether it was Moses, or in the New Testament, whether it was Jesus, we're talking about there is an established example of how important fasting is in our lives. Now, let me just say this, and I'm being truthful with you. Fasting is not something a Christian has to do. It is voluntary. But you and I as Christians can certainly choose to do that. And again, it's a way of focusing on God and doing our best to try to draw closer to you. So what is a fast? It's a voluntary withdrawal from the physical so that we can focus on the spiritual. That's what fasting is. Secondly, let's answer the next question. Why should we fast? Why should we do this? Fasting is a way to seek God by denying, again, the physical nourishment or the physical pleasure to our senses and to our bodies. in an effort to focus on the spiritual of who God is and what He wants for our lives. And I believe that because of this, the idea of fasting and prayer, it goes hand in hand. It goes together. It has to be one and the other. Or if not, it doesn't do us any spiritual good. If we're wanting to know who God is and we're wanting to know what God wants us to do, how do we know who God is? Well, you have this in your hand. This tells us exactly who God is. And then how do we know what God wants us to do? As we pray and communicate with Him. And so just the idea of abstaining from something, but then not filling ourselves with spiritual nourishment, it's not going to work. It has to go hand in hand. It has to be one in the other. Now, let's be honest. Some of you have fasted before. As we read in many in the scriptures, here's what you find out. Many times people fast when there is a special need. There's a special need that someone has, and so they use that time to ask God and beg God what He wants them to do, or to protect them, or to provide for them. That normally what happens. Now, notice these verses here. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat, he's facing the enemy. The surrounding nations are coming to attack. And so what does he do? The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3, then Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So there's an enemy that's approaching. There's a great battle that's going to ensue here. And we're asking God for His help and for His protection. Makes sense. We go to Ezra chapter 8. The Bible says this. Ezra says, then I proclaimed a fast here, verse 21, at the river Avaya, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from Him a safe journey for ourselves, our children, and our goods. For I was ashamed to ask the king for a band of soldiers and horsemen to protect us against the enemy on our way. Since we had told the king, the hand of our God is for good and all who seek Him, and the power of His wrath is against all who forsake Him. So we fasted and implored our God for this, and He listened to our entreaty. Many of us know Nehemiah's story. Nehemiah comes and he sees the wall of the great city Jerusalem is broken. The gates have been burned by fire. And Nehemiah is distraught. He's so sad. He's so upset of what he has seen. And he realizes that something has to be done in the name of the Lord our God. The Bible says this in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. As soon as I heard these words, Nehemiah said, I sat down, I wept, and I mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Again, special needs, special circumstances, special situations that there was a great need for God to do something. And these men cried out and they did a fast among the people so their focus could be upon God and what God was going to be able to do in them and through them. Now, it's interesting reading, and we're not going to take the time to read through this, but if you're taking notes, you can jot this down. Isaiah chapter 58. When you go to Isaiah chapter 58, Isaiah begins to tell us, really, in a sense, what true and false fasting is all about. He begins to contradict them, to kind of do a comparison contrast, if you will, of what good fasting is and what false fasting is all about. But it's been suggested, excuse me, my throat's going this morning. It's been suggested that from these verses here, there's a number of items that would help us to direct why we should fast or how we're going to do that. Now, if you're following along and you're taking some notes, let me just give you some reasons why we should be fasting. Number one, we should fast to be free from sin and addictions. We should fast to be free from sin and addictions. I don't have to do a show of hands today to say, even though we may be saved and we may be Christians today, how many of us know that sin affects us every day? And it does. And so as we're fasting before the Lord, what are we doing? We're pouring our hearts out to God and saying, God, please forgive me of my sin. And there may be an addiction that you have. It may be your temper. It may be pornography. It may be alcohol. It could be any kind of addiction. And you just have such a hard time of laying it down and walking away from it. You've got to confess that to the Lord. You've got to open up your heart. There's nothing that happens. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name shall do what? Shall humble themselves and seek my face and do what? And turn from their wicked ways. Then will you hear from heaven and I will heal your land. And so the idea of confessing sin, it's always the foundation when we're praying and we're asking God to do something very, very special. Secondly, you should fast for revival and the salvation of souls. We should ask God to burden our hearts for people to be saved. I got a text yesterday. I've shared this with a couple of groups this morning. But I got a text yesterday from Mike Minter. And Mike and Pam and Mr. Piercy, they're in Gastonia, North Carolina. Chad's daughter, Reagan, her birthday is this weekend. And they're down in North Carolina to be able to celebrate. And he said, hey, just want to let you know, as head usher, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. And he gave me a few instructions. But this is the last thing he said. He said, and I'm praying for souls to be saved at Gateway tomorrow. Well, now listen, if there's nothing that charges your pastor up like that kind of text message, I enjoy the funny ones, and I enjoy the ones that you got to bust on me, and I enjoy those kind of things, and keep sending those. But man, when you say, listen, I'm praying for somebody to get saved tomorrow, man, that's exciting. And we should be asking God to burden our hearts so that men and women and boys and girls will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Number three, fast to be free from mental and emotional stress. Mental and emotional stress. Hey, how many know what that is? Mental and emotional stress, the frenzy of everyday activity, it's draining upon us. It is. And God, we're asking you for a free mind. We're asking you for a free spirit. We're asking you today to help us to be more focused on you and not on the frenzy of our days. Number four, fast for the physical needs of others. Fast for the physical needs of others. Hey, one of your fasts this week may be that, hey, you know what? I'm not going to eat out this week. But that guy that's at the intersection that I pass every week that says he needs some help, I'm going to give him $10 that I was going to spend for lunch today. You say, well, how do I know that's going to be used? It doesn't matter. If you're giving it in good conscience because you feel like God is directing you to do that, you give the money, the rest is on him. You do what you're supposed to do. You may know somebody that's in need and in help, and instead of going out to dinner, take that $20, take that $40 and say, put it in an envelope and anonymously hand it to somebody and say, hey, listen, I just want to be a blessing to you today. You're fasting. Why? Because you care about the physical needs of others. Number five, fast for clearer insight in decision making. Fast for clearer insight in decision making. Hey, all of us sometimes get to the proverbial fork in the road, don't we? And we're wondering, God, what should I do? Should I take this job? Should I turn down this offer? God, what? I've got to make a decision about what the doctor is talking to me about, and I don't know what to do. Sometimes we need God to give us clear thinking and decision making. Number six, fast for healing. For healing. Some of you know what doctor diagnosis is. Some of you struggle with addictions. Some of you carry just a weight of sin that is so hard for you to get rid of. And whatever your struggle is today, you're asking God, God, please heal me. And you're not just asking for God to take it away from you, but God, heal me so that I can better be used of you, so that I can live longer, so that I can have a greater useful purpose for you. Number seven, fast for righteous living. Fast for righteous living. Now, this is a hard one because here we know the first part of this. It's easy for us to grow cold in our spiritual life sometimes. It just is. But now here's the hard part. We'll recognize that, but then we're fasting. And when we're fasting and praying, then we're saying, God, please light a fire under me. Well, last time I checked, you know what fire does? Woo, kind of burns, doesn't it? Don't ask me to do that again. I just realized what I did. God, light a fire under me. God, light a fire under me. God, light a fire under me so that I can be used of you, so that I can live according to your word. That's a hard prayer to pray sometimes. Fast again for protection from Satan. Number eight, fast for the protection from Satan. Matthew chapter 17, we know this passage. The Bible says that this man had a son, and his son was demon-possessed. And because this man had this son that was demon-possessed, that they brought him to the disciples, and the disciples tried to heal him, and they couldn't. So this man comes back to Jesus, and he brings this demon-possessed son to him and said, Jesus, I took him to the disciples, but the disciples couldn't heal him, so I'm bringing him to you. And so what does Jesus do? Jesus heals this man. The demon leaves this young boy. And certainly the young man is changed forever. And the father is so happy and so thankful for what Jesus did in his life. When that event stopped, the disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I thought you gave us power to heal. I thought you gave us power to cast out demons. Jesus, I thought you gave us some miracle-working power. How come we couldn't do this? Notice verse 17, or verse 20 and 21 of Matthew chapter 17. Jesus says to them, guys, it's because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove from here to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit, he says, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Some of you are sitting here today, and you know what it feels like to be under satanic attack. I said this to you a few months back. I used to think that people used to say that because they were weak Christians. And I've had to ask God to forgive me of that, because that was a judgmental statement. Because probably over the last 6 months to a year, I've understood what that's about. And when you feel like that the devil is beating you every single time, you try to take one step forward and he's cutting you off at the legs every time, day after day after day. Thoughts that come into your mind and you're thinking, I don't want to be this person. But it seems like Satan is hitting you and hitting you and hitting you. You need to pray. You need to fast. You need to ask God to remove Satan from your life. Number 9, some of you may be fasting today for a miracle. And I don't know what that miracle is. It may be for the birth of a child. It may be for financial help. It may be for the healing of a loved one. It may be for God to do something miraculous in you and through you. I don't know what it is, but you may be praying for a miracle. The number 10, why should we be fasting? You should fast for the power of God. You should fast for the power of God. To have the power of God on your life, to have the power of God working in you and through you. And yes, as a Christian today, we understand that the Holy Spirit is living inside of us. And because he's living inside of us, that is part of the Holy Trinity of God. But we're praying today not in our own flesh and not in our own strength and not in our own abilities. God, I have to have your power. God, I have to have your power to live. I have to have your power to bless my family. I have to have your power to work. God, I have to have your power to serve you. And you're praying. When's the last time you've prayed for God to light a fire under you and you've prayed for the power of God? Many times our prayers are, God, help me. God, get me out of this. God, do a miracle. God, provide for this. And that's fine. But add the others. God, light a fire under me. God, please, I pray for your power today. So here's the point. If we get serious enough to deny ourselves the physical realm, it will be amazing what God can and will do in our lives spiritually. It's proven over and over and over again in the scriptures, and there are countless examples of people who said, you know what, Lord, I'm going to deny myself and I'm going to focus on you. What's fasting? Why do we fast? And then number 3, how do we do it? How do we do it? How do we fast? Now, the Jewish practice was a 24-hour day. It was from sundown to sundown. That was the typical fast that we read about in Scripture. Now, there's about 4 different fasts, and depending on who you read after it and the much studying that you've done, you'll find some different variations of this, but I've kind of grouped it all together in about 4 different sections. One is a complete fast. And a complete fast simply means there's no food at all. It's only water or juices. That's the idea of fasting. There's no food for basically a 24-hour day, a typical sundown to sundown kind of event. There's also a selective fast. And this is removing certain items from your diet. Some of you perhaps picked up a book in the last couple of years called the Daniel Fast. If you go back to the Old Testament and read about Daniel, you'll find out that he substituted some meat and he puts and bread for some vegetables here. And so the idea that you're being selective, you're getting rid of some things you know perhaps are harmful to you, and you're substituting some things that are going to be beneficial to you as well. That's a selective fast. There's also a spontaneous fast. This is where you're skipping a meal. It may be lunch tomorrow. It may be breakfast tomorrow morning. It may be an hour. You've got a busy schedule tomorrow or the next day, and you've got an hour free on your calendar, and you say, you know what? Hey, for this next hour, I'm going to fast from my phone. I'm going to fast from my emails. I'm going to fast I'm going to close the door and lock it. I'm going to spend time with God. That's the idea of a spontaneous fast. But then there's also a soul fast. And I realize that there are several of you that have health issues, And it's very important that you eat 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day in small increments because of some physical issues that you have. And I understand that. And I think that God understands that as well. It's important. But the idea of a soul fast is you're removing an area of your life that's out of balance. You're removing an area of your life that's out of balance. I appreciate the honesty of Arnie Belaski today. He just kind of hit many of us where we live. He said, if you get this app and you find out how many hours, not how many minutes, how many hours a day we spend on our smartphone, it will shock you. And you find out there's some things that are out of balance. Some of you, bless your hearts, and I say this in the right way, some of you, you could not live if you didn't watch Fox News 24 hours a day. Give it a break. Give it a break. I'm just being truthful. Give it a break. Some of you, you got to call mom about 12 times a day. Give it a break. Give it a break. Some of you got to be attached to somebody else. Some of you've got these routines and things that you do, and you hang out here and you hang out there, and some of you are at Starbucks for 2 and 3 hours a day. Give it a break. Something's out of balance. Do something for your soul that's going to be nourishing. It's going to be helpful to you. Gary Rohrmeier said this. He says, fasting is more about replacing than it is about abstaining. And so if we're saying, okay, I'm going to take away these things, then what do we have to do? Well, then we have to replenish something in its place. May I suggest to you that we replace that with the Word of God? Now, here's something very, very simple. And I realize that some of you already have your Bible reading times and you've got your Bible reading programs set for this year and you've got a certain pattern of things. But if you don't, here's a wonderful way for you to start doing something. John chapter 21, or the book of John has 21 chapters in it. You'll see why that's going to be important in just a second. But you take just a simple chapter a day. Just take a chapter in the Word of God. Some of you read through the Proverbs every day. You read one proverb a day, works on all months except February. It's not going to hurt you to read a couple extra chapters a couple of days. Just read through a chapter a day. It'll be very, very easy for you to do. And what are you doing? You're replacing here. And then you're praying. You're praying over the scripture that you've read. You're praying for the needs that you see. You're praying for others. You're praying for yourself. We're praying that the power of God would be upon us. We're praying that the power of God would be upon our family. And we're praying for the power of God to be on our church and our ministry. And so, yes, we're saying, hey, I'm not going to eat this meal. I'm saying, hey, I'm going to be off my phone at 10 o'clock every night. And from 10 to 10:30 or 10 to 11, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to be by myself. I'm going to find a quiet place. I'm going to read God's Word. I'm going to pray. I'm going to jot down some things that God's speaking to me about in His Word. I'm going to pray about some needs that I heard about. And I'm going to pray for my family. I'm going to pray that God's power be upon my life and my kids and my grandkids and my spouse. And I'm going to pray for power of God to be upon our church. And I mean, you're spending time focusing on God. It'll be amazing to see how that'll change your life. It will. Pastor Chris Hodges said this. He says, prayer connects us to the Father, while fasting disconnects us from the world. And that's what we're trying to do. We're just simply trying to disconnect for a little while. We're trying to disconnect from our world, and we're trying to focus on God and His goodness to us. So let me give you some practical things. Again, if you're taking notes, I'm adding to your note section now. When we fast, there's 7 things that we need to do, and they're quick. Number one, set a realistic goal. Set a realistic goal. What one item? What one meal? What one day is it going to be? Make it simple. Set a realistic goal. Don't say, hey, I'm gonna fast for 40 days. Oh, don't do that. Well, I'm going to get rid of this. 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 And about day 2, you're going to find out that you failed. Make it simple. Make it simple. Set a realistic goal. Number 2, determine the scope. What kind of fast are you going to do? Are you going to do a sundown to sundown kind of fast? And are you going to have his water? Are you going to be selective with what you're fasting? Is it going to be a spontaneous time that you know that in your schedule through the week from about 12 to 2, it's kind of flexible and you'll just hit that when you can? Or are you going to do some kind of soul fast? What kind of fast are you going to do? Number 3, make it about your heart. Not about the thing you're giving up, the thing you're trying to accomplish. Make it about your heart. Number 4, focus on the eternal and about what God has for you to gain, not what you're going to miss. Focus on the eternal and what God has for you to gain and not what you're going to miss. Many of us focus how? On what we've separated from, rather than focusing on what God wants us to move to and toward. Number five, rely on His strength. You'll never fast on relying on your strength. The Bible says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? It's weak. It's weak. Okay, rely on His strength. Number six, confess sin, pray, and seek God's will and direction. Confess sin, pray, and seek God's will and direction. That should be something that should be part of your everyday prayer plan. Every day. God, forgive me of where I lost my temper yesterday. Forgive me for that thought that I had yesterday. God, I'm seeking You. Help me to know You better today. Lord, show me Your will. Show me where You want me to go, and help me to have faith to be able to do it. And then number seven, rejoice with thanksgiving and the goodness of God. Rejoice with thanksgiving in the goodness of God. Again, that should be something that's a part of your everyday routine. Hey, do we have something to thank God for every day? Yes. Every day. Every day. Always end with a time of thanksgiving. And so I guess here's the question. Do you want God to do more in your life? More than just a word. More than just starting a habit. I'm asking you today, do you truly want God to do so much more in your life? Well, if the answer is yes, then you're going to have to start allowing God to do so much more in you so that He can do so much more through you. Listen, if you want to see the eternal significance made, then what God has to do is He has to work in your internal self. He has to do that. Again, I said to you, the idea of focus is the idea of some kind of personal change that's going to lead to some kind of spiritual growth. If we're focusing on the eternal and the significant, then we have to allow God to change us internally so that we can grow in Him. Listen, what you're seeing outside on our campus is the result of about 5 years of planning and God's gracious goodness to us. And I'm excited about renovating our campus. I'm excited. This is kind of the ugly phase, in a sense, where we're tearing down things and putting things back. So if you rolled on campus and go, ooh, what's that? Give us time, okay? There's a plan here. Give us time. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited to be able to see through the windows and part of the school. I'm excited about getting some doors replaced. I'm excited about the new paint. I'm excited about seeing some things. I'm excited about that. But may I remind you that God doesn't use buildings. And understand what I mean in the right context. God uses us. We're not praying that somehow God is going to add another level to our two-story building. We're praying that God's going to add another level of spiritual growth in our lives. That's what we're praying for. So don't get too excited. So here's the challenge. You write this down in your notes. Here's the challenge. For us today, I'm challenging every one of us. I thought about doing this in a segment. I thought about doing this in a daily time, even breaking up some of just men and women. And I thought about breaking things up, but I decided to change it all in one. I'm asking all of us in 100% participation, for us individually and collectively, to fast for the next 21 days. The next 21 days. I'm asking all of us individually to do business with God. And we're asking God to do something special in our lives. And so basically, beginning tonight or tomorrow, for the next 21 days until February the 9th. And then we'll add some things on February the 9th, and you'll see that as we get closer to those days. But I'm asking you to do something. There's times that I don't share with you what God is doing in my heart and my life. There's times that I do that. There's times that I speak to you just personally, and there's times that I speak to you pastorally. I need to speak to you for just a second pastorally. I believe our church is at a major crossroads right now of what God potentially is going to do in us and through us for the future. And while you get excited about that and say, yes, Pastor, I believe God's going to do great things, I also believe that that balance could go the other way. I believe that to be true. And over the last probably 6 months, over the last year, and I can say it even in the last recent weeks, I don't know exactly what this looks like. And I've asked God for it, and I haven't seen it yet. So I can't lay it all out to you in this great plan. And I want to so desperately. But God's not giving it to me yet. But I'm saying to you with every fiber of my being, I want God to do something great in us and through us for His glory and to impact this area. I say that with all of my heart. And we're at a crossroads. And it's easy for us to get excited about the buildings. And we say, God, you gave us $1 million in the sale of property. And we kind of get a little lazy sometimes. And we say, God, do it again. But listen to me today. It's not about the buildings. It's not about the paint color. It's about you and I getting serious about living for God and being obedient to do His will. That's what it's about. And I believe that in these next 3 weeks, that God's going to reveal some things. I'm asking God to get rid of sin. I'm asking God to change hearts. I'm asking God to get the match out and start with me. To light a fire under all of us. To be more and to do more than we have been doing. And I'm asking you to join me in this. And I realize that it's going to be difficult. And I realize it's going to be challenging. And I realize it's taking you out of your comfort zone. And it's going to take me out of my routine and my comfort zone as well. But listen, I've never seen anything great accomplished for God without sacrifice, without obedience, without faithfulness. I haven't seen it happen. And I'm asking all of us collectively to commit today in 100% participation for the next 3 weeks, for the next 21 days. To fast. Now, I said this earlier, kind of funny, about me interpreting spiritual truths for you, but this one's real. Beware of Satan's attack. Because if we just drew a line in the sand just now, I promise you, the focus is going to be on us to try to get crossways with one another, for us to try to slip and slide individually, for us to be at one another's throat in our families, for us to murmur and gripe and complain. Whatever he can do, he's going to try to attack. He's going to try to thwart our efforts. He's going to try to move us back. But may I remind you of what Scripture teaches us, and this is why it's so important when we abstain that we put something back in. The Bible says that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And so we always talk about it and say, hey, you know what? I read the back of the book, and in the end, we win. Praise the Lord. But the last time I checked, today, I'm a winner too. Because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And so while Satan is powerful, God is all powerful. And while Satan may try to bring us down, I'm thankful that God can lift us up out of the miry clay and put us on a solid rock to stand. I'm thankful he's able to do that. And I believe he's going to do that in our lives. This morning, I didn't just bring something up here to kind of look cool, different things. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Russia on a missions trip. And one of the things that we had after one of our evening services is that some of the ladies of the church, they fixed some snacks and different things, but they fixed chai. Well, I never had chai before. You know, growing up in Appalachia, chai was just not one of those things we had. And so I said, what's chai? And they said, well, it's tea. I thought, hot tea. I thought, okay. How bad could that be, right? Well, here's what I learned about chai. It has about 10 million times the amount of caffeine in it than everything else does. Or at least what they fixed did, and I'm hoping it was real what they put in here, not something else, and it was. I just remember at 2:30 in the morning, my eyes were wide awake. But it was good. But you know, I'm just not a tea drinker. But here's what I know. Some of you got the little packets that look like this and different things. So here's what we do. We break the packet open. We've got our little tea bag that's here. And we take our nice little teacup or coffee mug, whatever it might be, and we fill it with hot water, don't we? Now, I'll be honest with you. You know, just kind of sitting here, and I've got this here, and, you know, I've got my little picture. It looks pretty. Looks nice, doesn't it? I started to say it looks pretty. I don't want to say that. But it looks nice, doesn't it? You know, and even when I've got my tea bag out here, I've got my hot water that's here, and it still looks great. But this has no effect whatsoever until this tea bag goes into this very, very hot water. Now, many of you that drink tea know that if you take this tea bag and go one, two, that you don't have tea. You don't even have flavored water at that point. Now, I think I'm saying this correctly. It's called steeping. Is that correct when you put this in? If it's not, please forgive me because I just don't drink tea. But here's what I know. Most people do this and let it sit there for a few minutes. And what happens? Well, there's something, in a sense, I say chemically, that's true, but just in a very simple sense. The tea leaves that are in this bag
begin to become part of that hot water. And the hot water that's in this cup begins to become part of those tea leaves. And all of a sudden, they begin to absorb each other. And I'm told as you fix tea, the longer that you leave this bag in this hot water, the stronger that your tea becomes. That's what I'm told. And so if you think about this, you think about, spiritually speaking, that fasting is what God is asking us to do. You see, because many of us, we like to parade around, and but we've got everything just neatly tied up here, and it looks good, it's got blue, it's got color, it's got contrast, and we walk around with this badge of tea honor that we have. And I do this for the Lord, I do that for the Lord, I've been saved for all of these years, and look at this badge of honor that I have. Or if we open it up, we say, whoa, look at this tea bag, and it does smell. You know, and it's just, oh, it smells good, it looks good, and oh, look at this cup here that I have, and this designer made this mug, or this is my great-great-grandmother's mug that I have here, and even the hot water, and we hold it precious here because it's so important to us. And so we walk around and we parade around with good things, but we never make the two of them match. Some of you have heard about fasting before, and yet you've never done it. We hear God's word mentioned week after week after week, and yet we don't do anything about it. We don't want to get out of our comfort zone. We don't want anything at all to come into our comfort zone. We don't want anything hot to scald us or to burn us or to set us on fire at all, because we've got our routine of way of doing things, and we think this is the way that it has to be done. But God said, you know what? Sometimes you need to get out of your routine, and you need to trust me. And you need to trust my word and my instruction, and you need to submerge yourself into the power of the Holy Spirit and disconnect from this and get real and submerge into the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know what's really neat? After a while, those of you that drink tea, what comes out of that tea bag and the water that's there, it just seems to kind of perfectly mesh together. And some of you know exactly how long you leave your tea bag in, how many times you dip it, and those kind of, you know exactly what it is. And it becomes the perfect drink of choice. God's design is for us every day to be more like His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have our own routines and our own ways of doing things, and that's fine. I'm not trying to bust on those. But I am saying that there is times that we need to disconnect. We need to get focused on God. And God, who are you? Lord, what do you want me to be? Don't be afraid to ask God for something. Don't be afraid to ask God for this. Don't be afraid to ask God. And be real with God. Don't be afraid to do that. And say, God, I want to absorb all of you. And God, I want you to have all of me. And I don't want us to be separate anymore. God, I want us to become one. I want us to be complete together. And as we do that, God, may you use me in great and mighty and powerful ways. I think the same way of this tea, when we're purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the forgiveness of Christ, then the Bible says our life is not our own. We have been bought with a price. So the idea of us saying no to self, if you're a Christian today, is something you already have done. But continue it day after day. I'm not talking about getting saved day after day. I'm talking about giving yourself. As the Apostle Paul says, I die daily. You know what that means? Every day. God, whatever your will is, however strong you want to make me, God, however you want to design me, Lord, wherever you want to put me, and God, whatever addiction I need to put to the side, Lord, whatever bad habit that I have, Lord, I gladly do that because I want to be one in you. That's what I want. I wonder what you want today. I wonder what you want. Why fasting? We're disconnecting. We're focusing. We're praying. We're begging God to do so much more in us and through us. That's what we're doing today. And I challenge you to join me. It's going to be hard, and it's going to be difficult. But when we give ourselves to the Lord, some great and mighty and powerful things can happen. But I realize today that there may be some of you that are sitting here today, and you've never given your life to the Lord. I realize I've kind of preached to Christians today, but you may be sitting here today, and you're not a believer. You've never given your life to Christ. Will you allow today to be this moment and this time to truly give your life to Christ? die to yourself today. Die to your sins and say, God, forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for who I am. I believe that you loved me. I believe that you gave us Jesus. And Jesus, I believe you died for my sins and you were buried and you rose again the third day. I believe that and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And I commit myself to live for you. Today, you can pray that prayer and be changed. But I'm asking for Christians today to come and pray and say, God, change me. God, give me that word. Lord, give me the strength. If you'll give me the strength, God, I commit myself to fast. And you're going to have to make a commitment to do it. You're not just going to walk into it. It's not just going to happen. You're going to have to make a decision to do it. And I pray that you will.